Good afternoon, you're very welcome to today's edition of Saturday with Clare Byrne. On today's programme, will she stay or will she go? Taoiseach Francis Fitzgerald is engulfed in a storm of controversy that could lead us to the polls before Christmas. As the leader of Fianna Fáil meets the Taoiseach again today, we hear from senior figures in both parties and Sinn Féin as we hurtle towards a snap election. We'll have all the very latest on the political crisis after the news now with Ciara O'Brien. Ciara, thank you very much. This is Saturday with Clare Byrne. You're very welcome to the programme. Joining us today, we have Simon Harris, Minister for Health, Fine Gael, who was first out of the traps to defend Taoiseach Francis Fitzgerald this week. David Cullinan from Sinn Féin, who lodged the first no-confidence motion and got the ball rolling, sending us to where we are today. David Cullinan's motion of no-confidence was followed by the second motion of no-confidence, which was announced on the 6-1 News on Thursday by Fianna Fáil's Jim O'Callaghan, who's also here. Michael Clifford from the Irish Examiner, who along with RTÉ's Katie Hannan has been doggedly following the Maurice McCabe story for years now. And Kevin Doyle from the Irish Independent writing today about what the paper says is the Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin axis threatening Brexit talks, and no doubt we'll talk about that too. And Gary Murphy is here from DCU, who is going to assess where we might be if we do reach that election point. Now, let's talk first of all about where we are today. Simon Harris, I just have the Daily Mail in front of me here. It's up to you now, Taoiseach. Where is the Taoiseach at? Have you spoken to her today? What's she going to do?
Well, the Taoiseach is going to hopefully continue to do her job, like the rest of the government wants to continue to do their job. The Fine Gael party, and indeed the government as a whole, including our independent colleagues, could not be clearer in our support for the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach has been out this morning. He's addressed the media and he's made it very, very clear that he doesn't want the Taoiseach's resignation. He doesn't intend to seek the Taoiseach's resignation. He doesn't want the Taoiseach to be considering even offering her resignation. So it's not an issue.
Is she considering, though?
Absolutely not. And nor should she, because the charges against her are flimsy. And it is more about Fianna Fáil trying to mark Sinn Féin than anything to do with the national interest. And what we saw yesterday was a very definitive statement issued by the Charlton Tribunal that showed that the very serious issues that have been raised by Sergeant Maurice McCabe, and that he was right to raise, and that people like Leo Varadkar have supported him throughout his period of raising them, will be looked at in full in public hearings on the 8th of January. Why would you plunge the country into a general election at such a precarious time for pure political reasons when a judge, not Mary Lou MacDonald, would assess all of these issues, specifically in a module on Sergeant Maurice McCabe from the 8th of January?
But the reality is that you entered this confidence and supply agreement,
yes,
knowing that this day would come, knowing that you would have to make compromises along the way. And the way to save this, and we hear all about, you know, the difficult situation we're in and crucial time we're in with Brexit, for example, just one of the issues facing the government, you're prepared to save Francis Fitzgerald and go to the polls and risk all of that, knowing that you're in a vulnerable position anyway with the confidence and supply agreement. It was always going to come to this, in other words.
Well, I actually thought, you know, the hint was in the title, confidence and supply, that the Fianna Fáil party signed up to support or abstain during confidence motions relating to ministers. If they choose not to do that, they've breached the agreement. We make compromises all the time. And by the way, I think we've made good compromises that have worked in the interest of the country on the budget, on lots of different issues. We've worked with the Fianna Fáil party to respect their policy platform and them to respect our policy platform. But what we won't do is we won't compromise on basic standards of fairness. We won't go for summary justice where we have some sort of kangaroo court deciding that the Taoiseach has done something which, quite frankly, she hasn't. The Taoiseach followed advice when she received an email.
You did it to
and
Alan
the Attorney
Chatter.
General.
You did it to Alan
and
Chatter.
The Attorney General. And the Attorney General also provided advice that it would have been improper for the Taoiseach to have done anything else. So the Taoiseach has acted absolutely appropriately. And it's not fair now to try and distort this and heap the blame on her. She's not the one who's trying to bring down the government. The people who are trying to cause an unnecessary election that I'm absolutely confident a majority of citizens do not want coming up to Christmas.
I would say the citizens in the main don't mind. They just have to go out and vote on one particular day. It's politicians who mind.
No, I don't mind having an election, but I think it's really bad for the country because I really think that the country needs the government to continue to focus on the very many pressing issues, most particularly Brexit, but also the very many important pieces of legislation before us in the Oireachtas. We'll be turning up next week to continue to do our work. If Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin decide to disrupt that and stop us in doing that by voting no confidence in the Taoiseach, an unnecessary election will follow.
Okay, I should say we'll be talking to Alan Kelly from Labour a little bit later on in the programme on the phone, talking about the substantive issue that led us to this point. Jim O'Callaghan, where are we in your in your mind today?
Well, can I just say, if there is an election, myself and Simon will be able to play the blame game as to who's wrong, who's right, whatever. We've 3 days to try and prevent an election happening, and I think we should try to do that. When we were in Trinity College negotiating the confidence and supply agreement, one of the things that came up was, well, what happens if, you know, we lose confidence in the minister, or a minister does something that's off the scale or something like that? And we decided, let's put a clause in which said that should an event arise that has the potential to undermine the agreement, efforts will be made by the two leaders to try to resolve it. Where we are is that Micheál Martin invoked that clause and commenced this process last Wednesday. He spoke to the Taoiseach on Wednesday, and he met the Taoiseach yesterday. I hope and I believe they're either going to speak or they're going to meet later today. I think they need to be given a bit of space in order to see whether or not this matter can be resolved.
But there's only one thing that will change where we are, and that's the resignation. Is that right? Because there was a suggestion that if Francis Fitzgerald stood aside and allowed the Charlton, the Disclosures Tribunal, to do its work in January, that that might be a solution. Is it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we have two positions that are irreconcilable. Fianna Fáil does not have confidence in the Tánaiste. Fine Gael and the government do have confidence in the Tánaiste. And my view is that it is unlikely, although I know the leaders will do their best, it is unlikely that those positions are going to shift between now and, say, next Tuesday. I could be wrong, and I will leave it to the leaders. But if that is the case, the only way we can prevent a general election is for the Tánaiste to consider a position.
So it is all down to her.
But can I just say this? Like, I know the Tánaiste adamantly believes she did nothing wrong. She gave a very spirited defence of herself in the Dáil on Thursday. But like, if it is the case that her position requires her to stand down in order for the country to avoid an unnecessary general election, then in the greater interest of the country, yes, I would urge her to
and
do that.
And you get the head on a plate.
I'm not looking for a head on a plate.
That's the only thing that will solve it.
Claire, can I say to you, if it was the case that we hadn't put down the motion and I was here and we were talking about the issues and you were saying, for God's sake, Fianna Fáil, all you do is you talk all the time, you never do anything. We were going to be criticised no matter what we did. We decided to do what we believed was the right thing to do. And I know we're going to talk later about the substance of it. But when we became aware that the Tánaiste was aware on the 15th of May 2015 about the strategy, we believed that was a serious issue. And the Taoiseach and other members of Fine Gael have recognised that the events of last week are significant. Like, we can try to undermine them. They are significant events that require a response. And we would be not doing our duty as the main opposition party if we simply said, OK, let's ignore.
And just to clarify, and I know, Simon, you want to come in. Yes. If the Tánaiste agreed to stand aside while the Disclosures Tribunal examined these issues, would that solve it for you?
It would solve, but as well as
it
that,
would solve it.
It would solve if the Tánaiste resigned and
temporarily stepped aside.
Well, I think the Tánaiste needs to resign. Like, temporarily stepping aside in reality is a resignation.
Okay, so
but
that's
can I say
not
this?
Work,
the Tánaiste will have the opportunity to go then after that, if she did resign, to the Disclosures Tribunal. If they vindicate her and say that woman never got that email on the 15th of May 2015, I'll be the first to stand up and say, okay, we were wrong. We shouldn't
there's
have
no
criticised.
Hang on, the Tánaiste has never said she didn't receive an email. So let's not try to say that, you know, this woman didn't receive. That's not the issue. What happened here is Fianna Fáil misread and underestimated Leo Varadkar. They were fed up getting outflanked by Sinn Féin in the Dáil, and they thought, we're not going to let it happen this time, and we're going to, for tribal parties in politics, demand ahead. And they expected Leo Varadkar to roll over. He's not going to. We're not going to. We want to get on with the job of work. And the best way of avoiding an election, Jim, is to step back from the brink and actually allow the government continue its work. And as a legal eagle yourself, actually allow the judge, Justice Charlton, do the job that he's far better qualified and placed to do
just
than the floor of the Dáil.
Because there's a difference between a tribunal of inquiry and Dáil Éireann. A tribunal of inquiry, you're correct, is a fact-finding mechanism.
Yes.
The Dáil Éireann is a legislative political assembly. We are perfectly entitled to come to the conclusion that we no longer have confidence in the Tánaiste. Like, that is a political assessment. It's a political judgment. It's not a finding of fact.
Sure.
But that judgment is based upon facts which are undisputed. That the email was sent on the 15th of May, that it informed her and confirmed her that there was a strategy in place on the part of the Garda Commissioner, and she did nothing in response to it.
Now, what could she have done? Because she was told she had.
Okay, I know it's difficult to say, oh, what would you have done? If I was Minister for Justice at that time, the first thing I would have done was I would have assembled the people who were sent the email. I would have made a phone call to the Garda Commissioner. I would have said to the Garda Commissioner, why are you referring to this criminal charge in circumstances where we both know that that charge has been dismissed by the DPP? And why also, in the knowledge, just let me finish, was asked the question, in the knowledge that the Guerin report had already said Maurice McCabe is a person of integrity and the O'Higgins Commission requires the investigation of certain offences, are you raising the issue of motivation?
Even though you have been told you have no function
Sorry, that's not correct. Read the email properly. And what I also would have done, if the Garda Commissioner hadn't heeded my advice, and as Minister, I have ministerial responsibility for the Garda, had she not heeded my advice, I would have sent my own legal team, which, and Frances has said she was represented there, into the Commission to state to Mr Justice O'Higgins, I dissociate myself as Minister from the strategy of the Garda Commissioner.
Jim, I think you're a decent and intelligent person and you wouldn't have acted illegally. And
that's
the
not
advice
illegal.
Available to the Attorney General. Now, unless you're going to make yourself the Attorney General as well, the advice has been that had the Taoiseach, well, we in the government operate on the legal advice of the Attorney General. The Attorney General has clarified that it would have been improper and inappropriate for the Taoiseach.
Improper and inappropriate is not illegal.
To have phoned the Garda Commissioner.
Are you saying it's illegal or improper and inappropriate?
I think there would have been serious legal issues had.
Are you saying it would have been illegal?
I'm not a lawyer, but it would have been serious legal issues. The Attorney General has clarified that had the Taoiseach started interfering. So much of the criticism has been to date that the relationship between the Department of Justice and the Guards was too close.
Yes.
Too close. And now you're actually suggesting it should have been made closer. We have a process to look at all these
can
issues.
Can I just make one final
point? You're not allowing that to happen.
Okay. In the Tolan report, which came out in July 2014 after the Guerin report, it said one of the major problems in justice was there is a deferential relationship with the Gardaí, with a lack of proper strategic accountability being brought to bear on them by the department. That is what the minister should have done. It was government policy at the time to protect whistleblowers. It was government policy at the time to, and it was stated previously that Sergeant McCabe had had a terrible experience. She should have got on to the Garda Commissioner and says, you're not doing that. And if you are doing that, I'm sending in my own legal team, because she was represented there, to dissociate herself from it. She's perfectly entitled to do that.
She was the first minister who actually really started acting on the concerns of Maurice McCabe. Remember, the first time Maurice McCabe contacted the Department of Justice in relation to bringing an issue to the attention.
I think she has many achievements.
David Colnan.
Well, I've listened for the last 10 minutes and everything I've heard points to a general election, if I'm listening correctly, to both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Can I just say to Simon first, none of this is about Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin did not create this crisis. To try and present this, that this is an issue for either Sinn Féin or any other opposition party, is to completely miss the point and, in my view, exacerbates the problem. And Simon, in my view, completely misses the point. Fine Gael do simply not understand the gravity of this crisis. They are putting their head in the sand. And it isn't just about the information that the Taoiseach had 3 days before the O'Higgins Commission, where she was made aware very clearly of a strategy, a legal strategy, that was going to undermine and attack in a vicious way the credibility of a whistleblower. That is absolutely crucial. That's what happened. That's a fact. And yes, she failed to act. She took no action whatsoever. But worse than that, for a whole year, she led us to believe, and the government led us to believe, that she had no prior knowledge of that strategy. That was the official position of government. Worse than that, on three occasions in the last 2 weeks, the Taoiseach of this country gave misinformation to the Dáil. Three times he said that the Taoiseach had no prior knowledge. We now know she had prior knowledge. And what this is about, and Simon needs to accept this, and this is part of a pattern of a whole series of crises that we've had in justice and elsewhere, where insiders circle the wagons, protect the system, in this case protect the corporate body that is in Garda Síochána Síochána, throw a whistleblower under the bus, attack his credibility, attack his character, and if that means supporting individuals who are doing that above citizens, that's what we'll do. Because let's bear this in mind, right throughout this whole year and previously, when we now know the Taoiseach was aware of the former Garda Commissioner's strategy and the strategy of her legal advisers, Simon and his government gave absolutely clear, unequivocal support to the former Garda Commissioner at every single stage of that process. They fully supported her and had full confidence in her.
It's a good point, Simon.
It is, but here's where David and myself, thankfully, have a very significant difference, is I believe, my party believes, and I believe the vast majority of citizens in this country believe in a thing called due process. We believe that actually we should establish the facts. And when David uses phrases like, that's a fact, that's a fact. Well, David, the tribunal hasn't reported yet. Now, your party possibly even yourself, your party anyway, sat down with the Taoiseach and agreed the terms of reference of the Charlton Tribunal. Your
and party, I think this is part of the red tide. No, you've had a good run and I didn't interrupt. I sat here for 10 minutes. Simon, I want to just make one point. It is my programme though, so I'm going to direct it.
The point that David made, that support for Noreen O'Sullivan, knowing that she and her legal team were going on the attack in O'Higgins against Maurice McCabe, and yet at every turn the government supported that commissioner.
But Claire, you are now, if you don't mind me saying respectfully, you are now deciding what happened in relation to the legal strategy at the O'Higgins Commission, when specifically looking at the legal strategy is a term of reference for the Charlton Tribunal. So we're either going to have a tribunal and the taxpayer is going to fund the tribunal. We're going to have a very eminent judge who's already started his work do that job. He's going to have public hearings. Sergeant McCabe is rightfully going to get what he properly is well owed and deserved for the serious issues.
Doesn't disparage talking about the fact that the minister knew what the strategy was. But it does respectfully mean
that you or I can't decide that there's a matter of fact when there hasn't been an investigation on fact. There has to be due process, Simon.
I believe in due process, but this is about political accountability. And what Simon needs to face up to is that in the course of the last 2 weeks, this story has changed 5 times and the Taoiseach on 3 occasions put misinformation on the record
of
the Dáil.
And Mary Lou once, that is a very serious matter.
And I can say to Simon very clearly, we are not going to be part of a club that turns a blind eye to wrongdoing, that turns a blind eye to...
I think you're already in it. That turns a blind eye to what was happening and the character assassination of a citizen
to protect an institution of the state.
Don't lecture me about assassinations.
One of the points that Simon makes is that this matter can be dealt with by the Charlton Tribunal. However, he's got to recognise that had it not been for the events of last week and the last 2 weeks, this email would never be going near the Charlton Tribunal. So to state that this was all going to be investigated by the Charlton Tribunal is misleading. It was never there. It was only as a result of these events that the Department of Justice has handed them over, and the Tribunal has been there for 9 months. Can I agree with Jim on something?
Because I think Jim raises a legitimate point here. This document clearly belongs at the Tribunal. How this document was missed does raise questions in relation to the Department of Justice. I accept that. The Taoiseach has made it clear that he's not happy. He's ordered another trawl. It does show the
importance. What's your assessment of the Department of Justice?
That the Toland report found that there are very serious issues in terms of its functionality. I think some of those issues, by the way, probably are issues that we need to look at right across how the civil service interacts with the political system. The Department of Justice is a very large department, and I think there needs to be learnings, obviously, when we have the results of the Charlton Tribunal in terms of actually the relationship between the department and the relationship between An Garda Síochána.
Because when Mr Justice Peter Charlton made his opening statement, he asked everybody who had knowledge of the Maurice McCabe affair to trawl through their documents, to trawl through the contacts that they had with the various people involved and to hand those over to the Disclosures Tribunal. Now, everybody, as far as I'm aware, certainly in my circle here in RTE, would have done that. Mm. The Department of Justice didn't.
Well, they clearly did, but they clearly missed it. They clearly didn't do it adequately. I accept that. I'm not going to defend that.
I mean, a document
that belongs at the Charlton Tribunal is now there, but should have been there already.
One very important point that Judge O'Higgins said at his investigation or examination. He said in the commission that when he asked the legal team from the former commissioner, were they attacking the motivation and character of Mr McCabe? And the reply was, right the way through. And that's what happened. And the Taoiseach was aware of that strategy. And not only was she aware of it, she denied being aware of it.
She wasn't aware of it.
Mick Clifford.
To be fair, the email in question has all the hallmarks of an ass-covering exercise, that it was sent to her in order that somebody could say the minister was informed. It is not clear the exact nature of the attack that was going to be perpetrated, but where I think there is no question about it is she did nothing. There was a number of things she could have done. Jim O'Callaghan pointed out most of them. She could have done any of those. What she was guilty of was a failure, a total incuriosity about what was happening to somebody she had praised. The other issue that arises is this. The email originated in the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General is the legal advisor for the Cabinet, not for the Department. Who else did the Attorney General's office decide should be informed about this. Where else did such an email or something like it go within the government? It opens up all that kind of a vista.
You're saying that other people may have known.
Very possibly. And the Attorney General oversees the Chief State Solicitor, who was central, whose office was central to this strategy, because they had to draw up a document that laid out what the strategy was. Who else may have known? We don't know any of that.
And it also begs the question, what other emails were
Gary
missed?
Martin.
Yeah.
You know, there could be loads of other emails missed and loads of other important documents. And it does beg our belief that the Department of Justice could not do a full trawl of every document available. I mean, it goes to the heart of dysfunction
couldn't
in the department
wouldn't.
For decades. I mean, the Department of Justice has been dysfunctional, as in many ways has the relationship between the permanent civil service and various governments of both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael Hughes. My own personal view is that there should be a complete clear out of the Department of Justice at the top, and there's an opportunity to appoint a new Secretary General, but a whole cadre of leadership underneath the Secretary General also needs to be looked at. And I think also in relation to the guards, we again need to think very seriously about appointing somebody from outside, because I think that would give the citizens a strong view that the government is, whichever government it might be in 2018, is taking this thing seriously, more seriously than it has been taken up to now.
I just think there is, I'm concerned though, just the idea that people would suggest that, you know, the Taoiseach got an email, she adhered to the advice in the email offered by her officials. That doesn't equate to the fact that the Taoiseach does not stand up for whistleblowers. And
I think
it is important. I mean, if you actually look at her record, what she's done in terms of being a reforming Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan decently acknowledged that she has achievements in justice. She set up a policing authority, she supported whistleblowers, she met Sergeant Maurice McCabe and his wife. So I think she does need to be judged on her record,
okay.
Not on one email.
I want to bring Kevin Doyle in here from the Irish Independent, because your headline today is pretty stark. Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin axis threatening Brexit talks. I mean, you're only one step away from calling them an axis of evil. Do you think Fine Gael bears no responsibility here?
There's nothing
for this?
New from the Independent when it comes to Sinn Féin, that's for sure.
I think you've heard 20 minutes, Claire, of how we got to where we are, and I think what most people listening will probably be more concerned about is where we're going. And I think what you're looking at now is you have the three main parties in the Dáil. You have Leo Varadkar, who is this the first thing you mentioned, Alan Shatter, and that this defence that Fine Gael are putting up of Francis Fitzgerald, and you said they didn't do that for Alan Shatter. I would put my house on, if Enda Kenny was Taoiseach now, Francis Fitzgerald would be under a bus, a Lewis, a tractor in Mayo, if that's what it took to take her out, because she would be gone if Enda Kenny was still Taoiseach. So Leo Varadkar has shown either this most laudable loyalty or absolute political naivety, but for whatever reason he has decided he is going to stick with her. And I actually believe what Simon Harris is saying in terms of she's going nowhere, that her resignation will not be on his table come Tuesday. So that puts it back to the realm of Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar meeting today. For Micheál Martin, I don't think this is the time he wants the election either. I mean, the moment that you would pull the government down on this issue was probably when Enda Kenny made up stories about conversations with Catherine Zappone. And for whatever reasons, Fianna Fáil pulled their punches at that time, which I think is why he feels he can't do it a second time.
Exactly. That's why it's exploded now, isn't
and
it?
That's
because
why
you
we
can't
are
march them up again.
Where
yeah.
we are. And then you have Sinn Féin, who have come from this on the back of an Ordesh where they've been in the media for days. Gerry Adams is on his way out. Mary Lou is on his way to the top. You're shaking your head, David. You haven't even heard what I'm going to say yet.
No, exactly. I've read it.
Fair enough.
Go on, make your point, and then we'll let David back in.
But for Sinn Féin, there is a real political opportunity here, which is that you now have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael arguing over who is being blamed for this election, if we have it. We'll spend the first 48 hours of any election campaign arguing over who is to blame, and by then Sinn Féin will be the ones out on the troops and the canvas.
The timing of this, it has nothing to do with a Sinn Féin Ordesh or any other Ordesh. What happened over the last 2 weeks was the timing was not of Sinn Féin's making, when the Taoiseach had to come into the Dáil on three occasions and give misinformation. But here's the reality.
But your motion of confidence is a timing issue, isn't it?
The motion of confidence is on the back of what developed, where we had five changing positions on what was a very serious issue. But Simon said earlier that this was partisan tribal politics, I think, as he put it.
Correct.
And he talks about a kangaroo court. And he does a disservice, because Fine Gael present themselves as a party of law and order. Hasn't really worked out well for them, if you look at all of the crises in justice and what they had to stand over. The Dáil is a place where you hold people to account. And you put down motions of no confidence if you have no confidence in the Tánaiste. And how anybody, when you look objectively at this, can have confidence in a Tánaiste that is clearly without credibility, shifted her position a number of times, clearly failed to act appropriately in my... And I'm giving
in
you
your,
my...
Right, Fianna Fáil does not want an election. But similarly, I heard the Taoiseach on the radio last night, and actually, I believe him, he doesn't want an election.
Correct.
So no one in Dáil Éireann, I think, really wants an election. Some of the public do. Not even journalists want an election, which is an extraordinary statement.
I don't mind.
I never thought of it. For the last 18 months, you've these journalists going around saying, can we have an election? Can we have an election? The prospect of having one...
There was a joke around Leinster House all the week. Some of the journalists were threatening to do a petition of politicians, journalists and staffers all going for no election.
Yeah. Nobody wants election. Some of the members of the public do want an election. I think an election would be very unhelpful for the country. This is not coordinated or opportunistic by Fianna Fáil. There's a serious issue. As I said, if we had adopted the other approach, you'd be given out to me legitimately as well. But we need to give Micheál and the Taoiseach some time over the next 3 days to see if it can be resolved. And if it can't, I think the only solution is that the Tánaiste should do the honourable thing.
We know it can't be resolved, don't we? We know that.
Well, I've stated that I think there are two irreconcilable positions. I don't think...
It's not about whistleblowers either, Jim. It's not about what it's claimed to be. It's about politics, the whole thing. It's not about...
Can I just say to you, Dominic, it's not like something that's been dealt with in the tribunal. You're right, it's a political assembly, but we have lost confidence in the Tánaiste. Now, people can say, oh, that's a political move. It is, but it is in response to facts that came out last week.
I think Fianna Fáil have lost confidence in the confidence and supply agreement, and that's at the very heart of it.
Well, it's dead.
It's also part of it.
Alan Kelly is on the line. I want to take a quick break and then we'll talk to Alan. In all the talk of a snap election, it's easy to lose sight of what it's all about. And the clip I'm going to play you now, I think it goes to the heart of the Maurice McCabe issue. What you're going to hear are the words of Maurice McCabe's wife, Lorraine, voiced by an actor for the Today with Sean O'Rourke programme and taken from Michael Clifford's book, A Force for Justice.
In 1993, I married a decent, honourable and above all, an honest man. For the last 9 years, because of these admirable traits and his decision to challenge the system for all of the right reasons, his life has intentionally, relentlessly and systematically been rendered intolerable for him at every turn. This has had a profound and very destructive effect on me, my children, my marriage and on our life as a family. One of the most difficult episodes for me was when Maurice was so low that he was admitted into St. John of God's for help. I'll never forget the desperation I felt that night after leaving him and driving home alone and wondering how I could shield the children from this. Despite my best efforts, their entire childhoods have been marred. Our lives have been destroyed. He, I, and our children have paid a very high price for his honesty.
The words there of Lorraine McCabe, and on the line now is Labour's Alan Kelly, who tabled the questions that took us to this point on the 7th of November. Alan, is there more to this story?
I suspect so. I expect that there's a lot more to this and it needs to come out. And just because, we've had this political football that's gone on and this eyeballing that has gone on over the last week or so, It forgets the core issue here. And the core issue is, why aren't my questions being answered? What is going on in the Department of Justice? And where the hell is Charlie Flanagan? He seems to have gone into hiding. I have asked a numerous amount of questions in relation to this. Why aren't they being answered? Why aren't we being given the full facts? I want to know that. I want some journalists out there to forensically analyse the questions I put in, and they're numerous. I put in a whole batch more, by the way, this week. Why they're not being answered? Why the facts? And this has nothing got to do with just the tribunal and its deliberations. These are just facts. Why these facts aren't being put on the table? We need full accountability as regards communications that went on in April and May of 2015 with the Department of Justice. And we also need to find out why, over the last number of weeks, These questions have basically been shut down by the government, have been shut down by the Department of Justice and Charlie Flanagan. And I want to ask this publicly. Why doesn't the Taoiseach actually go and sit down with the Secretary General of the Department of Justice and find out everything? And also something that's been missed in all of this. In the Dáil, during his answers to a question, the Taoiseach said that, which is puzzling me, that it may take a few days for somebody to find such an email. I want to ask the question, why were they looking for it in the first place? And it can't be just because I was asking, I have asked the question. Because this email was found on the 9th of November. I started asking my questions very specifically in relation to this on the 27th of October.
Okay, and when you say your questions haven't been answered, which questions have you not had satisfactory answers to? Because I have them here in front of me. So just what is the most pressing issue for you, Alan Kelly?
I've asked well over 30 questions in relation to this. The most pressing, I think the most pressing issue here is to get down to the facts of what happened in May and April 2015. We know now there has been a protected disclosure by a senior person in Garda Síochána in relation to these events. We know now that there was communications. We need for political accountability, not for going into the deliberations of Charlton. For political accountability, the questions I've put down are factual questions, and we need to know all the communications, all the meetings, and what was going on at that
period. But what about the statement that came from Justice Peter Charlton yesterday, that on the 8th of January he will begin hearings into these matters? Does that not satisfy you that all of these issues will be dealt with from that date?
The Charlton inquiry has to do its job, and that'll run its course. But also, we need political accountability. I mean, otherwise, what happens...
Do they not go in tandem? Do you not trust that he will carry out that function?
I absolutely do trust him. I think he's done a fine job, an excellent job, very, very capable. But no, the issue here is this. Are we really saying in Ireland in 2017 that political accountability stops? The Constitution is suspended because we have a tribunal. Ministers can't be held to account. And I, as a TD, cannot perform my parliamentary function while I'm elected to ask really legitimate questions. Are we saying that now? Because that has an effect what will happen.
Okay, and on where we are today, so we're looking at most probably by Tuesday we'll be in election mode. Is that what you expected? I mean, you can hardly say that Labour is ready for an election.
You know, if anyone who walks through the gates of Leinster House is afraid of an election, they shouldn't be going there in the first place.
Yeah, but there are questions. You questioned your own leader just a couple of weeks ago.
Let me answer your question. Ironically enough, the Labour Party is the most prepared for an election because our candidates are out there. If an election happens next Tuesday or happens in 6 months' time, it's going to be the same. We're broadly going to have the same amount of candidates. We know the constituencies we're concentrating on. So from that point of view, that's irrelevant. I think an election now is utter madness. And it's not because of polls or anything to do with that. It's because of the fact that we have massive issues going on in relation to Brexit. We haven't even passed the finance legislation that's required to pay civil servants next year. And a number of other issues. And the public don't want it.
Okay.
It'll be madness. But just to be clear, just because all of us, and I know your panel mostly agree with it, all of us feel that an election isn't appropriate given the serious events we need to deal with in Dáil Éireann, that doesn't stop or put a brake on legitimate questions being asked and accountability happening.
Okay.
And it is not happening. And really, seriously here, I know there's a focus in on Francis Fitzgerald, and correctly so, but where is Charlie Flanagan? He's gone into hiding. And why has he behaved in the way in which he has over the last number of weeks? And what in the name of God was that ridiculous outburst about when he knew about this information, sat beside the Taoiseach?
Remind us what he said to you again.
He accused me of a smear campaign, which we all know now is the greatest laugh of all time. A smear campaign based around asking legitimate questions, which everybody now, in fairness, knows deserves to be asked.
Okay, David Cullinan wants to come in here.
Well, one thing is for certain, this is not about Alan Kelly. And it's very confusing, really, when you listen to what Alan has said over the last few minutes. He says that we need political accountability. Of course we do. but yet at the same time he is not prepared to support a motion of no confidence in a Taoiseach who he clearly understands, I would imagine, has failed and is without credibility. So I can't understand the Labour Party's position, where on the one hand they say we need political accountability, and then they run away when there is a motion of confidence, and to pretend that this is somehow in the national interest. I think it is, because the Labour Party of all parties are not ready for an election, and maybe that's what they're looking at. So I think what we need to do here is focus on what the issue is, and the issue is that we are now faced with motions of no confidence, and it's up to everybody in the Dáil to show what side they're on. They're either on the side of ordinary citizens and people like Maurice McCabe, who were done down by pillars of the state and protected by politicians.
Okay, so you're wondering why Labour and Alan Kelly would not support that motion. Absolutely. Of no confidence. Alan?
Look, this is Sinn Féin saw an opportunity here.
No, but why won't you support the motion of no confidence?
We are going to consider that motion, and we'll state our position very clearly in relation to this very soon. But let me say this. Tuesday, the week before, when Micheál Martin asked questions as a result of media exposure on the lack of answers to my questions, right, on that day, Sinn Féin didn't even raise the topic. They didn't even raise the topic, even though they knew it was a serious issue. So what they have done is they've jumped on the bandwagon. They have seen an opportunity to split this arrangement that is unusual, but it currently exists in Dáil Éireann. And because of that, Fianna Fáil have had to chase them. And because of that, we found out this scenario. We have this scenario. There is one other thing which really, really would annoy me about an election, outside of the issues we've already raised. It shuts down my questions. My questions will not be answered. And as a result, basically, the information that everybody requires, and we all require for accountability purposes, will not happen.
But then you're saying it won't happen at the Disclosures Tribunal.
It will. But political accountability, I said this already, Claire. We have a tribunal, but political accountability doesn't stop because we have a tribunal. Otherwise, Dáil Éireann might as well close down.
Okay, Jim McCallan.
Well, like, first of all, the Disclosures Tribunal can't go in and examine answers given in Dáil Éireann and failures by ministers to answer questions. There's been High Court cases on that before. Nobody's going to interfere with utterances made by politicians in Dáil Éireann. Secondly, like, Alan Kelly's got a point, but it's not all about his questions. There are issues here now about confidence to do with the Taoiseach. It's apparent that Fianna Fáil doesn't have confidence in her. We're not going out there trying to canvass other people. Every other party will take their own role and make their own decision in respect to this issue. But it's not tenable, I think, for this to persist in this way and us to just fall into a general election.
Kevin Doyle?
A couple of points on that there. I think Brendan Howland actually indicated yesterday that the Labour Party have no confidence in the government, and on that basis they would support whatever motion, or he certainly strongly indicated that they would vote in favour of whatever motion is put down next week. And on the second point that Alan picks up, I actually went back and read that exchange between Charlie Flanagan in the Dáil last week, and it's quite extraordinary, because when you actually read it, Charlie Flanagan was really, really irate, shouted across at Alan Kelly about the smear campaign, and in the actual transcripts, the Ciarán Cóirla actually interrupts and says, "I don't think Deputy Kelly said anything." And it was actually true, because I was in the chamber, Alan Kelly hadn't actually said anything. And I think that is the worry for the government, is that because if Frances Fitzgerald is taken out, then the focus, she's forgotten. She's yesterday's news. It makes the front page for a day. And the following day, the headline is Charlie Flanagan's next, because there's big questions coming down about how he knew this, allowed the Taoiseach say what he said in the Dáil. And that's the real worry for Fine Gael, is that it's not about Frances Fitzgerald. That's the start of the domino.
Will you go after him next? No, Jim?
In my view, there's a significant difference between what Charlie Flanagan did or didn't do and what Frances Fitzgerald did. Unfortunately, as a result of Frances Fitzgerald's inaction in May 2015, there were very significant consequences on Maurice McCabe. He appears to have been exposed to this strategy up in the
Commission. But I would imagine that if a deal
Charlie
was done...
Charlie Flanagan, what he did had no impact,
okay,
in my opinion, on Maurice
McCabe.
But
if Frances went, I assume Fine Gael would ask you to do a deal with them whereby you would assure them that you're not going to go after Charlie Flanagan.
We won't be asking him.
There's one thing about where Jim's coming from, to be fair. And that is, Fianna Fáil are saying this is a matter of whether or not they have confidence in Frances Fitzgerald as a result of O'Higgins, etc. When this was revealed in the Irish Examiner in May last year, it was perfectly open to Fianna Fáil to make a stand on it. That was the occasion.
Absolutely.
They were able to stomach it then. And remember one thing, only for that there was another separate strand to the smear campaign against Maurice McCabe. Nothing about what went on in O'Higgins would ever have come out publicly. And I mean, that's back to the point I'm making. This largely is about politics. Most of the people who are involved, when Maurice McCabe needed friends in Leinster House, most of those who were involved, they walked away. They didn't want to know about it because there was risk involved because of the smear campaign that was going on, and it was among the Gardaí, the media, Leinster House, everywhere. They didn't want to know.
The difference in terms of Mick's point there, the difference is that last May the Examiner had a page of a transcript, and the allegation was this is how Maurice McCabe was treated. It was denied by the Gardaí, and the government were saying this happened behind closed doors of the Commission of Investigation. It's private. What's different to now is we have the email which confirms that there was such a strategy. Not only does it confirm there was...
Page, Jim. The whole thing was like that.
They had denied it.
Well.
And that's why it went over to the Disclosure Tribunal. It had been denied that was
the
strategy.
That wasn't why it went to the Disclosure Tribunal. Well, it went there because of the smear that was the following
year. But we as the Taoiseach said last week, the information that has come out is new.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think what we're at risk here is actually forgetting what this is about. It's actually about Sergeant Maurice McCabe, his wife Lorraine, and their family, and the way they've been treated by the state. The Taoiseach has made his views very clear on the way they've been treated. Clare has played a voiced up transcript of exactly the devastating impacts this has all had, and what political theatrics is not going to provide the answers, and that's the difficulty here.
Is that what you're accusing Alan Kelly of?
No, I was actually certainly not, because what I was actually about to say in the very next sentence was, in fairness to Deputy Alan Kelly, what he has done, whether I agree with him or he agrees with me or not, is irrelevant. What he has done is he's used parliamentary questions to try and establish facts. What he hasn't done is reach for a motion of no confidence that will just bring an unwanted and unnecessary general election, when we have the mechanism of the parliamentary question for anybody to ask a political accountability issue, and we have the mechanism of the Charlton Tribunal where a judge can establish the facts. There is no need for these motions.
And all I can hear,
let the tribunal actually do its work, and then let's see where the chips fall. And I mean, this is political expediency.
Okay,
and all I can hear from Simon is circling the wagons. It's the same story every time. Let's push this into a commission of investigation. I just want to make one point, and it comes back to something Mick said. I remember watching the Public Accounts Committee when there was a former commissioner before the Public Accounts Committee, and he used the word disgusting. It was Mary Lou MacDonald who pulled him up. So we gave full support to Maurice McCabe right through this process. And we have ended up in this situation because the state and institutions of the state have protected themselves first and foremost. And I just want to make a broader point, because if it is, and it does lead to an election, and by the way, Francis could resign and that could avert an election, let's bear in mind that we had a situation a number of months ago where we had five ministers, including at the time the Taoiseach, Enda Kenny. We also had a number of other ministers who had to come in to again account for changing positions. It took a couple of hours in the door.
Okay.
So this has been a long-running crisis saga for the government.
I'm going to let Alan, I'm going to let you go in a moment, but just on a sidebar, Simon Harris has said very nice things about you there. Micheál Martin,
Anna, don't get carried away.
Micheál Martin was in here yesterday, and he mentioned you a number of times on Sean O'Rourke's interview. Are you thinking of moving party?
Absolutely not. I was born into the Labour Party. A very strange question. My grandparents were involved in the Labour Party. No, but can I just make 2 points, Claire? Because I've been listening. I know I'm outside studio, but I just want to make 2 points. Ironically enough, we had the Guards and the Department of Justice in front of us in the PAC. And fairness, Deputy Colin is on the PAC with me. We had in front of us last Thursday. And the issues that were raised inside there in relation to the fact that the head of the Gardaí Síochána in Dublin has said that step aside is not a priority for him. And how did the Department of Justice and this government manufactured a situation where the criteria were so defined that it was the only one who could pop up at the top level? That alone is...
that may not happen either.
The second issue here is at the beginning of the PAC, I raised huge questions as to how the Charlton Liaison Committee, which is a group of people who have got sign-off orally from the Department of Justice in February but didn't get sign-off from DEPAR until May, how that was put in place. It's a firewall for certain Gardaí who are at Charlton. Why the taxpayer is paying for it? And they're seeing why the Department of Justice signed off on it.
Okay.
And the final point I want to make, and you asked a political question in relation to... Labour. The Labour Party hasn't confidence in this government, but the Labour Party always puts the country first.
Okay.
And while it hasn't confidence in this country, we also need actually the country to function So we need to be sensible as a group of politicians and come up with some common sense in order to get over the critical issues that are ahead of us now.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Alan, thanks for joining us on the phone. More after this. Now, among our panel today, we have Gary Murphy, political scientist and head of DCU's School of Law and Government. And Gary, you're going to take us through what might happen in the event of an election. But before we get there, you wanted to say something about Maurice McCabe.
Well, just on Maurice McCabe, he's a citizen of the state. And when the state turns its eyes on a citizen, as it did in Maurice McCabe, and as Mick Clifford's book so excellently shows, you are in serious trouble. And that is what happened to Maurice McCabe. I think it's one of the great shames and the great stains on modern Irish democracy.
Okay, well, let's take a look now at, I know you've done some work on numbers and you've looked at some polls.
Yeah.
So will we start with Fianna Fáil?
Well, Fianna Fáil are at about 28% in the latest polls. There's been five polls by four polling companies over the last couple of months which show Fianna Fáil roughly at about 28%. Show Fine Gael inching into the early 30s at 32% and Sinn Féin at about 16.5%. And then it goes down in relation to the smaller parties. The Labour Party are still knocking around at about 5%, which is very worrying territory for them. And just to recap, at general election 2016, Fine Gael at 26.5%, Fianna Fáil at 25%, Sinn Féin had 14%. But
so all three parties have made gains?
Slight gains, yeah, certainly. But if you look at 2011, for instance, Fine Gael had 36% of the vote and lost 10% in the corresponding 5 years. In November 2015, Enda Kenny wanted to go to the country to call a general election. He was talked out of it by Joan Burton. Fine Gael were 10 points ahead of Fianna Fáil by the general election. That had dissipated to 1%. And my point there is that campaigns matter. Mm. And particularly in the last two elections, Fine Gael nearly had an overall majority in 2011. They were pegged back by Labour in the last week, the famous Tesco ad, you know, every cut hurts and whatever. Labour got into power and the rest is history and they're fighting for their lives. They have seven seats. On a terrible day, they could be down to two. On a good day, they might get into the teens. And I make a very strong point here about turnout. Turnout counts in Irish general elections because of the long ballot, PRSTV plus one, proportional representation system. But we get about 68% at the last general election, up to the 70s and 80s in the early 1980s. But on a real cold day in December with snow, who knows what turnout
so it was the 19th of December.
Might be like. How this would then translate into seats. You know, Fine Gael had 50 seats. These numbers will give them about 57, 58. Fianna Fáil might raise 5 or 6 to 50, 51. And Sinn Féin, you know, at 16% is about in the mid-20s, 26. A good day would be 30, perhaps. So not a huge amount of difference.
Back I think to the status quo. So you'd need coalition with Sinn Féin.
I think if Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael could get to 60, they could cobble together potentially a coalition as distinct from a confidence and supply agreement. But then you would be bringing in the Social Democrats, the Greens, the Labour Party. Now, before we have an election, if you go back to 1994, we remember we had a change of government without an election. If Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin and the Greens and the Social Democrats could cobble together a government and the numbers, we might not need an election at
That's
all.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know it's not going to happen, but I'm just pointing out the Constitution is very clear on some of these issues. Just because the government loses a no confidence motion in a minister, it doesn't mean it loses the no confidence vote in itself. But I understand that why Fine Gael would be doing that.
Instead of a confidence in supply at that rate, I'd say we're going to have a supply in confidence agreement, which is basically the same thing, except no one will have any confidence in it on the basis of they have gone to the country for it anyway.
Just a quick question, Gary, before we move on. Who would benefit from a December election? Who would benefit from waiting until January?
I think Fine Gael, and I think that's why the Taoiseach made a very strong point last night, would benefit from a December election. They would get out of the traps early in terms of the blame game, you know, and if Fianna Fáil people are knocking on doors or Sinn Féin people talking about emails, I think doors will be slammed pretty quickly on their faces. But I don't think an election is any good for any political party because of the great uncertainty. There was always certainty in Irish politics. Fianna Fáil would get about 40%. Fine Gael would get about 30%. The economic crash busted that. And now there is just so much uncertainty. And remember, final point there, this is Micheál Martin's last chance. He has brought Fianna Fáil into two into two general elections, 11 and 16. If he doesn't become Taoiseach after the next election, I cannot see how Fianna Fáil will give him a fourth opportunity. And that's why the no confidence agreement is such high risk for him personally. Okay. He's a formidable campaigner. He was very strong in the general election last year. He faces a different Taoiseach this year than he did in Enda Kenny, who performed, I think we all know, pretty poorly in the 2016 election. I think we can expect the Taoiseach to perform admirably if the election is called on this issue.
Very quick, the politicians have fallen over themselves over the course of the last few days saying what they think the people want. The people will very quickly focus in on the issues in this election when there's an election. And for a lot of people, I think the frustration will be, well, maybe nothing will change. Nothing will change if we have another Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael arrangement. The hell crisis
campaign starts here, right? Simon, we'll go around the table really quickly.
Well, we don't want an election. The country doesn't need an election.
But is the confidence and supply arrangement over, in your view?
It's extremely badly damaged. And I do agree with Jim about the importance of the leaders engaging. But that engagement, the price of that engagement, will not be the head of a good woman who served the country well. We will stand fully behind the Taoiseach and we want to get on with the job. We're working away. We want to continue that work and we don't want Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin to interrupt it.
Circle the wagons again.
Jim, just your final word on this. Can a deal be done or are we heading for the 19th of December?
Well, unfortunately, if a deal isn't done and if the Taoiseach doesn't stand aside, we are heading for a general election. But can I say this? Frances Fitzgerald is a decent woman. She has achievements in the Department of Justice. And I believe that when she comes to reflect upon the fact that the option is either she has to stand aside or we're having a general election, she'll put the country before her own interests.
But it doesn't sound like it's her choice. Simon.
But Frances Fitzgerald always puts the country before her interests. She's not going to put the country behind your interests, Jim, and behind Fianna Fáil's interests,
if Frances Fitzgerald personally decides that she would like to resign, it sounds to me as though Leo Varadkar won't accept that resignation.
But the Taoiseach was asked about this earlier, and we can't be pedantic. If people choose not to turn up for work and don't come up for work and pack up the office, you can't make them turn up for work. We don't want Frances Fitzgerald to resign. There's no ambiguity. We want Frances Fitzgerald to remain.
Particularly if you're a hospital consultant.
Kevin, what's going on this weekend? Just in 30 seconds. What's going to happen this weekend?
In 30 seconds, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar are going to meet. There'll be no breakthrough. The reality is, whether some sort of compromise is reached at the last minute on Tuesday, we're having an election. It's either before Christmas, and if it's not before Christmas, there's something cobbled together, it's in January because the confidence supply agreement is dead.
Okay, we'll leave it there. I will be on your television screens, no doubt, with more news on this Monday night at 10:35. Until then, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Saturday with Claire Byrne was produced by Anne Farrell. The broadcast coordinator was David Phelan. Research was by Killian Murray and Sheila Neveuil was on sound.